Mark chapter 11, we're going to read from verse 1 to verse 19. When they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sends forth two of his disciples, and says to them, Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as you be entered into it, you shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him, and bring him. And if any man say to you, Why do you this? Say that the Lord has need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way, and found the colt tied by the door, without, in a place where two ways met, and they loose him. And certain of them that stood there said to them, What are you doing, loosing the colt? And they said unto them, Even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus, and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees, and strawed them in the way. And they that went before, and they that followed, cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. When he looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. For the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said to it, No one eat fruit of you hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And they came to Jerusalem. And Jesus went into the temple, and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple. He overthrew the tables of the money changers, and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he talked, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city. In Mark's Gospel, it's taken all this time for Jesus to come down to Jerusalem. And here is the focus, that this is the time of his suffering. This is the time when he's going to be rejected, where he's going to be crucified. They've come a long way, and as we followed it through, they were up in Caesarea Philippi, which was right up in the north, and they've come down through Galilee, and now they've worked their way down through Jericho. We saw with Jericho, blind Bartimaeus, his sight was restored. He followed Jesus in the way. And now they've come nigh to Jerusalem at the beginning of this chapter. They've come to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, close by the Mount of Olives. And that's interesting because those names, Bethphage is the name of a small place, a small town, which means the house of figs. And Bethany, Bethania, or Bethania, means the house of dates. It can be associated with figs as well. And of course, the Mount of Olives. These are all terms relating to food production. Fruit, figs, dates, olives. And the point that will be made as we go through the chapter, and possibly when we come to it next week, is that when Jesus came to Jerusalem, he found no fruit. And there is an illustration of that in what we're reading tonight. There's no fruit. He comes looking for fruit, but there's no fruit. And he says, two of the disciples to fetch, as it described it here in Mark's Gospel, a colt. He says to them, go your way into the village over against you. Possibly that was Bethphage, because that was right close to the Mount of Olives. And as soon as you be entered in, that phrase, as soon as, is our word immediately again. In the Greek, it's the same word for immediately, straightway. Here it's as soon as, immediately. You've got into that city, immediately you'll find a colt tied whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And he talks about their being challenged, if anybody challenges you, and all that happened, of course. They came, they found the colt, and they were challenged. But Jesus said, If anybody challenges you, if anybody says to you, why are you doing this? You just say, the Lord has need of him, and straightway, immediately, he will send him hither.
Yes.
And I ask myself the question, how did Jesus know all that? He'd been away up in the north in Galilee. They didn't have telephones, they didn't have ways of communicating, as we do today. If he sent a note, it would take ages to get there. How did Jesus know all that was going to happen? There's no time for him to arrange it. He'd been away. It's just the way of the Lord is according to the power of God. The Lord knows these things. In a way, it's a miraculous provision. The Lord knows that colt there. He knows that the man who owns the colt won't let it come and send it. It's just a marvellous way that all things are under his control. He's going to the cross.
Yes.
Yet all things are under his control. At no stage does anything get out of control as far as Jesus is concerned.
Right.
He goes willingly to the cross. Mm. And everything that happens, and although Christians in the past have described the disaster and the tragedy of Jesus,
yeah,
being crucified, and the Roman Catholic Church blaming the Jews for his crucifixion and accusing, it was necessary.
That's right.
It was part of the divine plan. And everything was ordered along that pathway.
Yes.
And Jesus knew every step of the way. Nothing caught him by surprise. When we get to the cruel scenes of his being beaten and bruised and scourged, he knew all that was going to happen.
Yes.
He'd already told the disciples that that's what they're going to do to him.
Yeah.
We saw it last week.
Mm.
He told them. And it didn't seem to have much effect on them. Do you remember last week when we were Mark chapter 10? He said, verse 33 of Mark chapter 10, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, the Son of Man shall be delivered to the chief priests and the scribes. They shall condemn him to death, shall deliver him to the Gentiles. They shall mock him, they shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him. And the third day, he shall rise again. He's just told his disciples that. And the very next verse shows how much they were paying attention. The very next verse, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, said, Master, will you do something for us, whatsoever we ask? What do you want? Can we sit next to you on your throne in glory, one on the right hand, one on the left? Did they not listen to what he was saying about what's going to happen to him? It was like Walker off a duck's back. But Jesus knew every step of the way. And I think this brings it home to us, this little story about the colt being brought for Jesus to ride upon. It brings to us that every step, every little detail has been provided and planned by God. And everything falls into place. There was no scheming, no pre-arranging. It all happened according to the will of God.
Yes.
And when they brought the colt to Jesus, obviously they knew that he wanted the colt to ride on. They put their garments upon him and he sat upon the colt. Nobody ever sat on this thing before. You know what happens when you sit on an animal like that that's never been trained to carry? They start bucking and trying to throw the person on it off. You see the old cowboys on their rodeo things. Nobody had ever ridden this before, and yet Jesus sat on it. Not a whisper. Not a protest. And as he rides upon the ass going towards Jerusalem, the people began to put their garments in the road. They're taking down branches from the trees. There are palm branches and so on and so on, which traditionally became become known as Palm Sunday.
Yes.
I don't know whether it was on a Sunday or not. The Bible doesn't say. And as they're working on a wrong day for the crucifixion, they've probably got a wrong day for Palm Sunday. But we don't know. But that's their welcoming. Now you see, when they entered Jerusalem at the time of Passover, there were a number of days when they sang something which is recorded in Psalm 118.
Yes.
And if you go to Psalm 118 we'll start at verse 22. Because these are significant terms connected with the life of Jesus. Psalm 118 and verse 22. The stone which the builders refused is become the head stone of the corner. We know that refers to Jesus. This is prophetic. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvellous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech you, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. And this is what they were chanting, this is what they were singing as they followed Jesus, as they went before him, as they followed him. They were crying out, Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. And Hosanna means save now. It became a term of praise.
Yes.
And we find it here a bit later on at the end of verse 10. Hosanna in the highest.
Yes.
But that salvation is coming from the highest.
Yes.
Hosanna, they cried. Save now.
Amen.
Now, because this is what they always sang at this time of the year of Passover, it doesn't necessarily mean to say that every person that was singing that and chanting that understood what they were singing for. Save now. They had no idea of the cross through which that salvation was going to come.
Yes.
But Jesus did. Jesus knew where he was going. Jesus knew what he was doing. You see, we go right the way back to Genesis 49 to read the blessings that Jacob gave to his sons and their descendants. Back in Genesis 49, and verse 8, we start at verse 8, because this is the blessing for Judah, of which tribe Jesus came, tribe of David, Judah. And verse 8 of Genesis 49 says, Judah, thou art he whom your brethren shall praise. Your hand shall be in the neck of your enemies. Your father's children shall bow down before you. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you are gone up. He stooped down. He couched as a lion, as an old lion. Who shall rouse him up? The scepter, is what we're coming to, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from before his feet until Shiloh come. Mm. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm. Until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Or the one who brings peace.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The one who brings peace. And as we look at these verses, when they brought the colt to Jesus, verse 7, and cast their garments on him, and they spread the garments on the way, and the branches from the trees, they were crying out, Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. This is a fulfillment, you know, of what was spoken by the prophet Zechariah.
Yes.
And as you go to Zechariah chapter 9, this is what Zechariah prophesied. This is how the Messiah would come to Jerusalem. Read from verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king comes. Hallelujah. Shiloh is coming.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Your king comes unto you. He is just and having salvation.
Yes.
Jesus is bringing salvation. All the pathway he was treading was going to be awful and dreadful. But that pathway to the cross would bring us salvation. The price would be paid for our sin. And death would be destroyed and the power of death as Jesus rose again from the dead. He's having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt of the foal of an ass. This is Jesus. And if people in those days had known the scriptures and had known the prophecy of Zechariah, and had known the blessing of Judah, and had known what the psalm meant, Psalm 118, that it referred to Jesus, they would have known that this is the saviour of the world. This is the king. This is the Lord from heaven. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem. I don't know what all the scribes and the Pharisees thought. We do know that their idea about all this was, tell them to be quiet, Lord. Don't you hear what they're saying? Tell them to be quiet. Who do they think you are? Well, we know who he is. Hallelujah. He is the Lord from heaven. He deserves that praise. All praise should be directed to him. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem. And he says he went into the temple. And when he looked round about upon all things, and the eventide was come, he went out to Bethany with the 12. That's where Mary and Martha lived. And Lazarus. There must have been some rejoicing in that family. Because not long before this, we know from John's Gospel, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. I wonder what he was doing. He's looking around the temple and he can see what they're doing. This is evening time. You can guarantee that they were setting things out for the next day. Where was he in the temple? He was in the temple area. He was in that area where the next day something was going to happen. He was in that area which was called the court of the Gentiles. They wouldn't have done this anywhere else in the temple. It's in the court of the Gentiles. And you can guarantee they were selling out their stalls for all the business that was going to go on in the next day. It was Passover time. Passover was coming. And people needed to get things ready for Passover. You know, people came. It was a requirement that every male should present themselves to the Lord at the temple with a sacrifice, with an offering, on the three major occasions of the year, which was Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles.
Yes.
Shavuot. And when they came, they had to come with an offering. And the law made it quite clear, when you read the Old Testament, that if they were coming from a long distance, they didn't have to drag an animal with them for the sacrifice.
Totally.
They could buy one when they got there. That's a business opportunity for some people. And so things were being set out for people to buy the animals that they needed. Every year at this time, they had to make a contribution of the temple tax, which was half a shekel of silver. Half a shekel. The trouble was, in those days, in the days of Jesus, with the Romans in control, they couldn't use the Jewish money, the shekel, in ordinary transactions. They had to use Roman and Greek money. And the problem with that was, when they came to the temple, they would not bring in the Roman and Greek money, because the Roman and Greek money had things on them that were about other gods, were blasphemous, were wrong. They wouldn't bring this idolatrous stuff with the Roman coins with the emperor's head on. That to them was idolatry, it was a graven image. You can't bring these things into the temple. It's all right in the court of the Gentiles. And so there were money changers. It says there were money changers as well. We'll come down to that in a minute. And they're setting up their stalls. Because when Jesus comes the next day, on the morrow, he comes, he's hungry, and he sees a fig tree afar off, having leaves. Now this is a significant fig tree. The Bible speaks often about the fig tree in relation to Israel. And when you see the fig tree putting forth its leaves and such like, you know something's coming. Israel is an indication of how we are in this world today with regard to the coming of the Lord.
Yeah.
Keep an eye on Israel. When you see it begin to blossom, as it were, the green leaves, there's signs of life there. Jesus is coming. And he saw a fig tree. And he got leaves. And he came to see if he could find something on there to eat. He was hungry. And he could find nothing but leaves. He said, well, it's a bit unfair that Jesus should answer and say, no man eat fruit from you hereafter forever. We'll find later on, when we come to this next week, that when they go to the fig tree again, it's withered and died.
Yeah.
It wasn't the time of figs anyway. Why did he expect to find something? Well, because the fig trees in those days there, around about March, they began to put forth little buds, some of which would become the full fruit. And people used to eat those. They found that a source of nutrition. And although there were no figs, and it wasn't the time of figs yet, you expect the buds, a promise of fruit in the future.
Yes.
And there was nothing. And really, this is a picture of Israel. He's come to the nation, and there should be some signs of life, even if it's life for the future, and there's nothing there.
Yes.
They've gone against the ways of God. They have a religion, but their very religion, which they've devised and added to and added to and added to, takes away from the purposes of God. What a picture that is of the nation of Israel. Jesus had come looking for fruit, not just on the tree, but in the nation of Israel. He finds none. Really, there'd be no fruit amongst the people of Israel until Jesus comes again. Oh, God's watching over his people, the people of Israel. He comes to the temple and he begins to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. We read in the other Gospels, there's a call. He drove them out.
Made a whip.
And he had no compassion at all on the money changers. All their little sacks of money there, he turns their table over and all their money goes everywhere. You see, they've got all the cattle in the court of the Gentiles. They've got the money changers there. Because of the different types of money, the shekel and the Roman coins and the Greek coins, the people would have to change their Roman and Greek coins up to buy the shekels to give the gift to the temple. And if they're going the other way and they've got an excess of the shekels and they want to check, they change back again. Well, you know what money changers are. They've got one rate for if you're buying the foreign currency and another rate if you're selling the foreign currency to them.
They do you on the exchange rate.
They do you on the exchange rates. And these people were masters at it. They're making a profit out of people's necessity and need. You know, the Bible says in the Old Testament concerning weights and measures. You'll have a just measure. The Lord knew that people in those days used to operate, they were scammers, they used to operate with two sets of weights, depending on whether they were buying or selling. You find it in the Old Testament. You mustn't have two sets of weights.
That's right.
One weight that says a pound, and another weight that says a pound, but one is heavier than a pound, and the other's lighter than a pound. And out of that, they shortchange people. They deceive people. And that's what the money changers were doing. No place for that, you see. And Jesus quotes to them from Isaiah, the prophet, as he's overthrown all these tables and things and driven them out. He says, this place is written in Isaiah, it's in Isaiah 56, verse 7. The Lord has been speaking a bit earlier in Isaiah 56, verse 6. He was talking about the sons of the stranger that joined themselves to the Lord. He's talking about people that aren't Jews being brought to the Lord in Isaiah 56. And then he goes on to say, I will bring these people, the sons of strangers, I will bring them to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for the people, for the nations.
Yes.
Is this, you've gone against that. Mm-hmm. How can they come into this market scene and it be a house of prayer for them? It should be a house of prayer for all nations. You have made it a den of thieves. What an effect it had on the people. You know, one thing religious people don't like, and the Roman Catholic Church in particular, I'm just thinking about at the moment, is being told that what they've got isn't the true thing.
Yes.
It's man-made. It's not what the Lord has given. It's man-made.
Yes.
All that Jesus saw here in the temple, that was man-made. And went against the scripture of truth.
Yes.
And when you look at religion, Christian religion,
yes,
Christendom, so much is actually against what the Bible teaches. Mm. And it's no surprise, therefore, to find that when the church or the churches of Christendom and their leaders have to make decisions about morality in our modern age, they go with the way of the modern age,
yes,
and not with the scriptures of truth.
Right.
These things are wrong. And we find that the scribes and the chief priests heard of what was going on, and immediately they want to destroy Jesus.
Yeah.
They don't take on board what Jesus is saying. They don't listen to the scriptures that Jesus is quoting to them.
No.
And they're supposed to be experts in the scriptures.
In the field of business.
They just want to justify what they're doing. Mm. And they want to destroy Jesus. And they feared Jesus, it says, because all the people were astonished. That is a very strong word here in the Greek. It's almost as if they were knocked, the people were knocked sideways,
yes,
at his doctrine. You can almost hear them saying, he's got something there. I never saw it like that before. The people were being influenced by this teaching of Jesus. It had knocked them into a situation where they're standing or sitting up and taking notice and saying, that's right, you know, what he's saying. And they feared Jesus because the people were affected by his teaching. And what they cared about most, these religious leaders, was how they appeared in the eyes of the people. When the evening was come, it says, he went out of the city. Now, I wanted to take it just to that far. In the morning, there's the fig tree, it's dead. An illustration of the state of the nation. But what's happened here is the Messiah has come to them, but they didn't know him. They didn't recognise him. And today, amongst practising Jews, we can say the Messiah has come. He came 2,000 years ago, and they don't know him. Judaism today is what Judaism in the time of Jesus has produced. Modern Judaism is based very heavily on Phariseeism. They're living by the Talmud.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Talmud is Pharisaic. It's Phariseeism. All the rules and regulations. For every one rule there is in the Bible, they've got 1,000 rules to go with it. The Messiah's come. They didn't know him. As it says in John's Gospel, he came to his own, and his own received him not. What a sad time that must have been for Jesus. He comes riding as the Messiah. That which was written about riding into Jerusalem. on the Zechariah prophecy. Mm. That which was written by Zechariah,
yes,
was a prophecy concerning the Messiah. What Jacob blessed Judah with was a prophecy concerning the Messiah, when Shiloh is come.
Yes.
It's the Messiah. And they didn't know him. They didn't know him. Next week we'll look at the rest of the chapter. Let's take heart tonight, that as we read these scriptures we can say, these things happened, but praise God, there was a purpose even behind that. Because the rejection of these leaders, Pharisees and such like, the rejection of the Messiah, their handing him over to the Romans, brought about the sacrifice which God purposed as the remedy for our sin. That Jesus should die a death of being made a curse for us upon that cross of Calvary. Whoever hangs on the tree, says the Old Testament,
yes,
is accursed. And that opposition, that rejection, it was all within the plan of God. From that rejection came the sacrifice for our sin, the Lamb of God taking the sin of the world. And although we may ask and wonder why on earth that all happened and why did God allow that to happen, it happened because it was necessary that the price for our salvation should be paid through that death.
Amen.
Which could only have happened at this time. It could only have happened at this time when the Romans were in control and the Jewish leaders were in cahoots with the Romans. God's plan, God's purposes are revealed. So even though this seems to be a dreadful situation, it was all within the plan of God.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord.